So this is a season of hope and of waiting, and you can't do one without the other. If you don't really have any hope, you're probably not going to do any waiting. Because when we're talking about waiting in the sense of Advent, we meet in the sense of preparation, expectation, anticipation, prayer, all of that going together, and that's fueled by hope. It doesn't happen if you already have the thing that you long for. And it only happens if you believe that the one for whom you long is real and will show up. So hope is that virtue by which we have sure and certain confidence that we're going to be united with the Lord, with those that we love, perhaps those that have gone on before us, and that all things will be well. And I say sure and certain because in the theological sense, hope is not the way we use the word hope in the colloquial sense. The way we commonly use hope, it's like something that we want to happen, but we don't necessarily know if it will. Who here would like to see the Lions win the Super Bowl by a show of hands? Who here would like to see Michigan beat Alabama? we might say, I hope Michigan pulls it off. I'm not speaking for myself, as you know. I don't really know who to root for because only one of them can lose. But I usually do root for Michigan against the SEC. So let's just have an ecumenical moment right now. But we can say, oh yeah, I hope Michigan wins. Oh, I hope so-and-so likes the gift I get them for Christmas. Or if you're a little younger, I hope I get this for Christmas. But that's not hope in the theological sense, because there is no certainty or confidence of it. But more so because God has not promised that. And all too often, we put our hope in things that God has not promised. Not that there's anything wrong with hoping that a sports game is fun to watch and your team wins or, you know, so-and-so likes your gift. But that's not what we're talking about, really, when we mean hope. We mean something that's sure and certain. It's based on God's promises, and it's rooted in Him. We hope in Jesus Christ because of who He is. So He's worthy of our hope. He's worthy of our confidence. He's worthy of us saying, I will wait for you with expectation, with prayer, with patience, because you are faithful. You are true. And therefore, any promise you've given me, I can depend on it. But more than that, as we place our hope in Jesus and in His promises, and as we learn what they are, which really happens primarily through reading His Word, it's primarily through reading sacred scripture that we come to know His promises to us. But as we come to place our hope in those promises, like as we learn what they are, as we place our hope in them, we have a greater desire for them to be fulfilled. They become more important to us than our little hopes, like our passing hopes, like the, I hope this happens, I hope that doesn't happen. If we place our confidence in what He has promised, then a lot of the circumstances, especially this time of year, any time of year, but especially this time of year, cannot pull us into anxiety or fear or restlessness, because this can be a very restless time of year more than all others, really. At least in a way that we all share, it can be more of an anxious time of year. But it is supposed to be the opposite. It is supposed to be a time of peace. It is supposed to be a time of a very prayerful, quiet, prayerful time of the year. Like that's really what it's supposed to be. And it can be if we take the time, if we carve out the time. But in order to do that, we have to really look at where our hopes are. What are we placing our hopes in? I think in a lot of cases, we can kind of pin our hopes on just getting through Christmas. I just got to get through Christmas. And that's where we could be a little bit more childlike. There's no little kid that I ever met who's just hoping to get through Christmas. But when, in a really good sense of wonder, of expectation, of joy, yes, maybe it's about presents. I was polling the students in the school. I polled our students in the school, and as it happens, a lot of them, I forced them to be honest. I said, you can't just tell me the pious answer that I want to hear. Food was a little bit more popular than Christmas presents as far as their favorite thing, but those were both pretty high on their list. What we're doing in order to prepare for Christmas says a lot about what our hopes are. So, like, a lot of the temporal preparations are really good. I think it's good that we give gifts. You know, as long as we're not forgetting Jesus on his own birthday, right? It's good. He loves the generosity, and especially if we're taking care of the poor, you know, above others, but the generosity in general. Of course it's good that we get together and celebrate and feast and you know, rejoice in the Lord's birth, which is one of the highest, you know, solemnities of the year. So food and gifts are part of it. It's good that you send out all those Christmas cards and all the family pictures and all of that. But we have to remember where our hope is. And if your hope doesn't extend beyond just getting these, checking off these tasks, then you need to be more childlike. A kid who's really excited and anticipating at what's going to happen at Christmas. This happens when we're living in the Spirit. One of the promises, we heard about the promise to Isaiah through Isaiah, the promise that there would be a virgin who would conceive and bear a son, and he would be Emmanuel, God with us. Isaiah goes on in chapter 9 to describe this person, this God with us, Messiah. He's the anointed one, okay? And he has all these titles, and you'll know them from Handel's Messiah, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Especially that last one, I just want to hone in on that last title, that last name of Jesus, Prince of Peace. Because what that means is that anywhere Jesus is king, right, anywhere where he rules, he brings peace into your heart, into your home, into your relationships in life. He brings peace into your schedule. He brings peace. And so if he rules and reigns, if he's in charge, that's going to characterize you. And what I would have to say is that the way that we receive Jesus, we really do have to, we have to live a life in the Spirit. I was thinking about Galatians 5:22, the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness. It goes on, generosity. But especially peace really stuck out to me, because this time of year, it can be the opposite for so many people. It can be so challenging, especially. Which is why, if you're living in the Spirit and not in the flesh, right? Remember, living in the Spirit is when I'm obeying God's word, I'm obeying his laws, and I'm really focused on his promises, the capital H hope, that the Lord is with us, and I'm not overly focused on the little h hopes, though those might be important too, but those aren't my, you know, like the Michigan game, like that's not my hope, right? Because seriously, I remember watching the Michigan State Alabama game a few years ago on New Year's Eve. You remember that game. I see some knowing looks out there. Michigan fans don't remember this, but state fans do. What was it, 38-0, 49-0? I can't even remember. We get beat by Alabama something to zero pretty much every time. Anyway, for some people that I know with whom I was watching the game, that ruined, I don't know if it ruined their day or their life. Because they were so living in the flesh. Now, these are good, faithful Catholics. Like, they know Jesus. Back of my mind, I'm like, they should know better. One of them was like my He probably should have been my confirmation sponsor. He was like a huge inspiration to me in the faith as a kid. And he is like a strong Catholic. But I'm telling you, we can all be lured into living in the flesh. And one of the ways that we live in the flesh is we put we pin so much on something so temporal. And the Lord doesn't want us to live in the flesh. He wants us to enjoy life and football and family, and he wants us to enjoy food and all the good things that he has, but he wants us first to be in the Spirit, which one of the things that means is that our hopes are in him and what he's going to do. And that means that what he promises becomes more important to us. It becomes something we really desire. It becomes something we really pursue and really after it. For me, I just want to share a couple of my hopes for Christmas. I think one of these I've shared with you before because it's kind of a moving target. But my brothers, all my siblings, we are all pretty faithful Catholics, or at least faithful Christians. My Sudanese siblings are evangelical. They were Anglican back in Sudan. Although some of their kids are becoming Catholic. But we are all strong, faithful Christians, and one of us is a priest, and yet, we don't necessarily pray together. Most of us are brothers. Our sister might not be home, but like, we're biological brothers. But to some degree, we're not brothers in the faith. We share the same faith, but we never pray with each other. We never pray for each other. It's been since the last time I really made a resolution about this was like a couple years ago at Thanksgiving. So one of my hopes for Christmas is to do what we did then, which was where I noticed that we were all together in the same room, and I said, and nobody else was in there. And I said, no one is leaving this room until everyone shares a prayer request, and we pray for that right now. Now, I can do that with my family. I don't know if you can do that. Maybe you'd have to bar the door, put a padlock on it. But that is something that God wants. That's related to one of his promises. That we would be of one heart and mind. A lot of the prayers in the Eucharistic prayer talk about that. That we would become one body, one spirit in Christ. Do you hope for that in your family? Is that something you're praying for, interceding for, looking for an opportunity? Maybe over Christmas? And it might be a much smaller gesture than what I just said, but... And I know it's hard for me, which is weird. It's hard for me because I don't know why. I don't know why it's awkward. I could go right now and be like, Keith, what's your prayer request? I'd come back there and I'd pray over you right now. Wouldn't even be weird. Actually, don't even think most of you would be that weirded out because you already know that I'm weird. So, but with my brothers, Keith is like, thank God you're not going to do that. But with my brothers, I don't know why, but like maybe because they know me so well, it's kind of scarier. Maybe because they're so good at making fun of me, you know? I don't know. I don't know what it is. It's kind of intimidating. I don't want to be vulnerable in front of my family. But, you know, the last time I did this a couple years ago, it was pretty moving. And it was really important. I wish I could tell you how important it was, but the upshot of it was that one of my brothers really received the faith and confidence from God that he was going to be able to have a family. And now they have two kids, but they're going to have a lot more than that. Struggles, the real struggles that he was going through, I had no idea about. How might the Lord want you to bring real hope in his promises to your family or your friends or to anyone you work with or whoever the Lord might put in your path? But this time of year, people are so much more open to God's promises. It's part of the magic of Christmas or whatever. Christmas isn't magic, it's grace. But that's one of my hopes. Another one of my hopes is that in a couple days, there are going to be people sitting in these chairs here and in some in there that never go to church. I mean, okay, they go to church a couple times a year. Like, they don't go, you might not have seen them. But there are also people who never go to church. There are people who don't go to church at all. I know this because people come talk to me and they'll say this or that. It might be their first, hopefully not their last, but it could be their only time going to a church. And my hope, one of my hopes is for those people, the person who's supposed to be sitting in that seat and in that seat, and that they will, when they come here to Mass, be loved and welcomed by all of us, be loved by God. Partly through us and partly just because He's present. He's present here in a way that He isn't in other places. And I mean because of the Eucharist. I don't mean because we're holier than anybody else. We're not, but He's here. And my prayer is that they will receive His love, know His love, that the light of the world, Jesus Christ, will be someone that they learn to know and to trust in. That's where I'm putting my hope. And I want to invite you to be praying and interceding for the people that are come as our parish family. Like, pray and intercede for your family, your biological family, your in-law, even your in-laws, right? But also for our parish family or for those who should be joining it, that we would be able to be an avenue to them receiving Him. That we would be able to be an avenue to them knowing Him, and that the peace that you exude in your life, because you're living in the Spirit, not in the flesh, you can't get all upset about little things, or you'll be less upset. You know, I mean, for me, driving down Grand River in Brighton, that is the hardest thing to do this time of year. I need the Prince of Peace. And if I'm putting my hopes on, like in a sense, if I'm putting too much on, I've got to get this many Christmas cards and this, you know, I got to find this book somewhere and, oh, is Amazon the only place that has it? And this person is driving too slow. You know what? If I'm spending a little bit more time interceding for my family, maybe preparing a homily, interceding for the people that are going to be here at church, I'm going to be a lot more peaceful with the pace of traffic. So as people come in here to our home, as you go to their homes, as you see them throughout your daily life, if you're living in the Spirit, pinning your hopes on God's promises, you're going to be peaceful. Peace is the fruit of a life lived in the Spirit, which means not in sin and not in selfishness. It means Jesus comes first, others come second, and you come last. You can't fake that. Peace is not just a decision. I don't just decide, I will be now peaceful. It's the fruit of a life lived where Jesus is first, His promises matter, others are second, you want them to experience His promises too, and you're last. And by the time you get to you, you'll be so tired that all you'll be able to do is receive, and that's all you'll need to do. Because God wants to give you peace, joy, all of that, without measure. So this year, my hope is that we would be, that I would be, and that you would be, peaceful. And that our witness would be attractive to others. So that we would be able to bring the Prince of Peace really into the world. And that as the world comes to us, that they would experience that same peace, that same joy, and that same love that He so desires the world to receive.